Senator Senjum.
Madam President, I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant of Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Today's chaplain is Pastor Gary Dreyer from Christ Lutheran on Capitol Hill in St. Paul. And following the prayer, please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I bring you greetings today from over 230 clergy and lay people from across our great state. It's a multiracial, multi-denominational, and multicultural gathering of people who have come together today in downtown St. Paul to work together and to pray together for economic and racial justice. So greetings, and let us pray. Dear God, you are a God of truth, and this afternoon we lay before you some undeniable truths. Today in Minnesota and across our nation, corporate wealth is on a steady and steep rise. Wealth is accumulating, but only for the tiny percentage of our citizens at the top. The recession from which we are slowly recovering continues to vastly and disproportionately have ill effects on our citizens of color. And political polarization is higher than any of us can remember. Dear God, the members of this Senate of our great state are gathered here constitutionally to ensure that this government is a government by the people and for the people. And to that end, give these, our senators, the courage to serve the common good more than the commanders of wealth and power, to care for the interests of their people more than the interests of their party. Dear God, our founders conceived of a nation that protected the inalienable rights of 100% of its citizens. May their vision be ours. We are about to pledge ourselves to this nation that stands for liberty and justice for 100% of our citizens. May that pledge truly be ours. And dear God, you have called us to be a people who walk together, work together, and pray together until justice falls down like waters and righteousness like a never-ending stream. May your will be done. Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag.
Thank you very much. Secretary will take the roll.
Senators Bach, Benson, Bonhoff, Brown, Carlson, Chamberlain, Cohen, Dames, Daly, DeCryf, Dibble, Dietzick, Eaton, Fishbach, Gazelka, Gerlach, Gimsey, Goodwin, Hall, Han, Harrington, Hayden, Higgins, Hoffman, Howe, Ingebrigtsen, Jungbauer, Kielash, Cook, Coonan, Cruz, Langseth, Latz, Lilly, Limmer, Laurie, Magnus, Marty, McGuire, Metzen, Michelle, Miller, Nelson, Newman, Nino, Olson, Ortman, Pappas, Perry, Peterson, Reinert, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Saxog, Sendrum, Sharon, Siebenskoy, Sparks, Stump, Thompson, Tomasoni, Torres, Ray, Vanderveer, Wieger, Wolf.
The quorum is present. Moving to the third order of business, messages from the House. There are several messages to be read. The Secretary will read the message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file. Herewith returned Senate file 2137, a bill for an act relating to insurance. Albin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
There's no Senate action necessary on that message. The Secretary will read the next message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House has adopted the recommendation report of the Conference Committee on Senate File 2296 and repassed said bill in accordance with the report of the committee. So adopted Senate File 2296, a bill for an act relating to elections. 2296 is herewith returned to the Senate. Albin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
There's no Senate action necessary on that message. The Secretary will read the next message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the House has adopted the recommendation report of the Conference Committee on Senate File Number 2334 and repassed said bill in accordance with the report of the committee. So adopted. Senate File 2334, a bill for an act relating to lobbying. Senate File 2334 is herewith returned to the Senate. Albin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator There's no Senate action necessary on that message. Secretary will read the next message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which amendments to the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate file number 1597, a bill for an act relating to military affairs. Senate file 1597 is herewith returned to the Senate, and Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator DeCraif.
I would like to move that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File 1597 and that bill be placed on its repassage as amended.
And members, those are available on House Journal, April 25th, page 9047, House Journal, April 23rd, page 8648, and the Senate Journal, April 7th, page number 5888. Senator DeCraif to that motion.
Senate File 1597 is a veterans hiring preference bill. In Article 1 of this bill, it separates veterans from other groups, providing identical 6% permissive preference. Preferences are expanded to be applied to all phases of construction contracting, including construction-related professional technical services, clarifies preference eligibility for all preference groups, creates preference program report requirement. Article 2 authorizes but does not mandate counties to establish veterans
preference
programs.
Excuse me, just a moment, Senator Kreif. Excuse me for just a moment. Members and staff, it is very, very noisy in here. When I tried to interrupt Senator DeCraif, he couldn't even hear me so that I could bang the gavel. So, Senator DeCraif, please.
Thank you, Madam President. Article 2 of this bill authorizes but does not mandate counties to establish veterans preference programs in contracting. There's some items that are missing from this version, which was voted off the Senate floor earlier, and I'll just point those out. The USERRA language isn't in this bill because it was already signed into law in another bill. The veterans employment recruitment language is already signed into law in another bill. Veterans preference and state hiring strengthened is already signed into law from another bill. The veterans preference and state procurement remains at 6%. This bill was passed across the Senate floor back on April 17th, 64-0, and on April 25th it passed the House floor as amended, 125-0.
Further discussion on Senator DeCraif's motion. Seeing none, Senator DeCraif renews his motion that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File 1597 and that the bill be placed on its repassage as amended. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Secretary will give 1597 its third reading.
Senate File number 1597, a bill for an act relating to veterans, third reading.
Secretary will take the roll on Senate File 1597. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 63 ayes and no nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Remaining under messages from the House, the secretary will read the next message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which amendments to the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate File 2342, a bill for an act relating to commerce, Senate File 2342 is herewith returned to the Senate. I'll be named Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Gazelka.
Thank you, Madam President. Senate File 2342, as amended from the House, will protect individuals injured in a motor vehicle accident from solicitations and advertisements.
Excuse me, Senator Gazelka, you need to make the motion.
Madam Chair, I make that motion.
Senator Gazelka moves that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File 2342 and the bill be placed on its repassage as amended. Senator Gazelka to that motion.
Thank you, Madam President. So this will protect individuals injured in a motor vehicle accident from solicitations and advertisements that exert undue influence, are deceptive, and mislead. First of all, by imposing new restrictions on advertisement targeted to individuals injured in a motor vehicle accident to ensure that advertising is not misleading and clearly identifies the health care provider directing the solicitation. So the second provision of the legislation strengthens the current law prohibiting the use of runners and cappers and steers in soliciting no-fault auto business for health care providers. Members, this is a collaboration of the Minnesota Chiropractors Association and the Insurance Federation and other stakeholders. It passed unanimously off the House floor. There's no opposition that I'm aware of now. This has been a work that's been in the making for probably 10 years or longer, and I'm just thrilled that we're able to get this done.
Further discussion, Senator Latz.
Madam President, members, I think this is a good bill. It's an appropriate protection for consumers and injured parties so they don't get taken advantage of at some of the most vulnerable moments, and I think it deserves your widespread support today.
Further discussion of Senator Gazelka's motion. Seeing none, Senator Gazelka renews his motion. The Senate concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File 2342 and the bill be placed on its repassage as amended. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Secretary will give Senate File 2342 its third reading.
Senate File Number 2342, a bill for an act relating to commerce, third reading.
Secretary will take the roll on Senate File 2342. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 64 ayes and no nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Remaining under messages from the House, the secretary will read the next message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file is amended by the House, in which the amendments, the concurrence of the Senate, is respectfully requested. Senate File 1933, a bill for an act relating to health care. Senate File 1933 is herewith returned to the Senate. Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Hand.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File 1933 and the bill be placed on its repassage as amended.
Those are available on House Journal April 25th, page 9057, and the Senate Journal April 18th, 5940. To the motion, Senator Hand.
Madam President, members, the House did pass the health care compact legislation. They added a very brief amendment. You can look it up in the journal, but I'll read to you what they put in as an amendment, and this is what it was. Nothing in this compact is intended to establish a framework for a health insurance exchange. That is the additional language they put on the bill, and I'm just recommending we concur with the House language and repass the bill.
Further discussion to Senator Hand's motion. Senator Hand renews his motion. The Senate concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File 1933 and the bill be placed on its repassage as amended. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The motion does prevail. Secretary will give Senate File 1933 its third reading.
Senate File Number 1933, Bill for an Act Relating to Health Care, third reading.
Secretary will take the roll on Senate File 1933. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 37 ayes and 28 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Meaning under messages from the House, the secretary will read the next message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which the amendments of the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate File 2535, a bill for an act relating to education. Senate File 2535 is herewith returned to the Senate. Albany M. Atheritz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File Number 2535 and that the bill be placed on its repassage as amended. The changes can be found on the House Journal for April 25th, page 9059. The original, as we pass the Senate bill, third reading, it's on March 26th, page number 5148. Explain briefly that the changes are slight. It gives some teeth to the collection of the fees from the administrators for the Board of School Administration, and they added some words and replaced some of ours, like four words, and added clarity to the issue. So I think it was a good correction, and I encourage your support.
Further discussion to Senator Olson's motion. Seeing none, Senator Olson renews her motion that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File 2335 and the bill be placed on its repassage as amendment as amended. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. The Secretary will give Senate File 2535 its third reading.
Senate File Number 2535, a bill for an act relating to education, third reading.
Secretary will take the roll on Senate File 2535. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 65 ayes and no nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Remaining under messages from the House. We will be taking up conference committee reports. Secretary will read the message.
This message is not on the agenda. Madam President, I have the honor to announce the House has adopted the recommendation report of the conference committee in House File Number 1607 and repassed said bill in accordance with the report of the committee. So adopted. House File Number 1607, a bill for an act relating to the state capitol. House File Number 1607 is herewith transmitted to the Senate. Albany Mathewich, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Benson.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the foregoing recommendations and conference committee report on House File 1607 be now adopted and the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee. Madam President, one line change, otherwise the Senate language was completely adopted. Data exchanged with individuals under the paragraph is not public data. The committee was given the authority to consult with outside persons and we want to keep that data private.
Further discussion to Senator Benson's motion. Senator Benson renews her motion that the foregoing recommendations and conference committee report on House File 1607 be now adopted and the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Secretary will give House File 1607 its third reading.
House File Number 1607, a bill for an act relating to the state capitol. Third reading.
Secretary will take the roll on House File 1607. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 63 ayes and 2 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Moving to the ninth order of business, motions and resolutions, Senator Senchum.
Madam President, I move that House File Number 66 be withdrawn from the Committee on Taxes and given a second reading and placed on general orders. Madam President,
to that motion, Senator Senchum.
This would be the vehicle bill for a bonding bill back to the House.
Discussion to Senator Senchum's motion. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Secretary will give House File, I can just do it. House File 66, second reading. Senator Senchum.
Madam President, I move that House File Number 2269 be taken from the table.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Senchum.
Madam President, pursuant to Rule 26, I designate that House File Number 2269 be made a special order for immediate consideration.
Senator Senchum has designated House File 2269 a special order. We'll begin. Senator Perry.
Thank you, Madam President and members. I move to amend House File Number 2269 as follows. Delete everything after the enacting clause and delete the title of House File Number 2269. And insert the language after the enacting clause and the title of Senate File Number 1832, the second engrossment.
To that amendment, Senator taxpayer.
Thank you, Madam President and members. In taking a look at what we would like to do with the Help America Vote Act, we know that as the HAVA funds. As we look through, the Senate language is a bit more restrictive. In the House language, the House language appropriates dollars to the Secretary of State, the account established under the statutes. And then it also appropriates $100,000 of this appropriation that could be used only for costs associated with implementation of laws enacted in the 2012 dealing with election administration procedures for individuals. We have been more restrictive in our bill moving it. The following, we're looking at appropriating the $50,000 for military and overseas empowerment act compliance, $120,000 for support of local election officials, $50,000 for eligibility notification letters to felons if in fact required by law, and then $250,000 appropriated in fiscal year 2013 to the Secretary of State from the account established under the Help America Voters Act. That would be then leaving dollars for next year for the Secretary of State to the tune of about $1.4 million, if in fact the constitutional amendment photo ID were to pass.
Further discussion on House File 2269. Senator Marty.
Madam President, just clarification. I thought what you were doing was taking the House file and just putting the Senate language on it, which is what happens automatically. Are we doing something different? Are you taking it from a different bill and putting the Senate language on? And, Madam President, why doesn't that happen automatically in this time under Rule 45 or whatever it is?
And Senator Marty, I'm going to condense the explanation, but because the Senate file made a stop in rules because it was a late bill, this did not automatically happen. And if you're interested, there are several other steps involved that that could be explained.
Madam President, thank you for the explanation. In effect, we're just doing what the Rule 45 amendment would have done if the bill was in the right.
Correct, Senator Marty. Thank you. Further discussion on Senator Perry's A50 amendment. Senator Bonoff.
Madam President, I have the A51 amendment.
Senator Bonoff,
I should keep one. And
Senator Bonoff, if you would be willing to withdraw the amendment for now, my understanding is because of the amendment, the A50, that's a little unusual, we have to adopt that first because A51 is actually drafted to the language.
Thank you. I withdraw the amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Bonoff. And we will then further discussion to the A50 amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. Senator Bonoff.
Thank you, Madam President. I would offer the A51 amendment.
Senator Bonoff offers the A51 amendment. The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Bonoff moves to amend House File 2269 as amended by the Senate April 26, 2012, as follows. Page 1 after line 4, insert. This is the A51 amendment.
To the amendment, Senator Bonoff.
Madam President, What this amendment does is it takes the language that we reviewed earlier with regard to the June primary and attaches it to this bill. And then, in addition, it takes the appropriation language on Senator Perry's underlying bill that we just approved, and it adds, if you see it on the amendment on line 0.66, that part of the appropriation is going towards election training for June primaries. There is money in Senator Perry's bill that gives local election officials some money for training, and so it would be appropriate to make sure if when this is passed that they can use some of that money to take a look at anything they need to do for the June primary. I did speak at great length the last time we had this discussion, so I don't know that it's necessary to continue the discussion with regard to why this is important, but I am resubmitting the handouts that I previously submitted with regard to where this falls within the 50 states. Many, many, many states do have an earlier primary. This is a good government kind of amendment. This allows more people to be civically engaged in choosing the best candidate and allows the public to really spend the campaign season understanding who it is they're going to have on the ballot rather than who's competing to be on the ballot.
Further discussion of the A51 amendment. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, in looking over the amendment, I would first like to ask a question of whether it's germane. Although there is a portion of this amendment that makes reference to an appropriation, the early June primary is definitely not a finance issue, and that's what this bill is about. That is a policy issue, and for that reason, the amendment would not be in order due to a germaneness issue. It is of a substantially different subject as well as different purpose.
Further advice for the chair?
Madam President,
Senator Bonoff.
Madam President, I did speak to counsel on that. It is my belief that it is germane, and there is language in Senator Perry's bill. Yes, it is an appropriation bill, but then it does clearly talk about that the appropriation is for the Help America Votes Act. The Help America Votes Act is originally why we put our primary into August, because there's so many requirements around military voting, absentee voting as part of the Help America Votes Act. That is actually the title of this bill. It is not just appropriations. It speaks about the Help America Votes Act, and as Senator Limmer did accurately point out, and again I will reiterate, on line 6.6, we specifically reference that that appropriation is for the election training for the June primaries. And even without the amendment, it does say it is for local election training. So the local election training is about the elections themselves, and there couldn't be a more related bill than a June primary bill with regard to this bill. And I have spoken to Senator Perry about this, and if I would yield to Senator Perry if he would like to offer advice for the chair as well.
Advice for the chair?
Madam President, in looking at this, I would have to say that there is germaneness just because of the one section in my bill, the $120,000 for support of local election officials. Now that would, as I take a look at this first blush, that would be the only, I would believe, attachment that there could possibly be made in this. But outside of that, I can't give any more advice.
Madam
Senator
President,
Marty.
Advice. One, just because there's a provision in a bill that might provide some funding that could be used for something and then saying, well, we're going to put this whole new policy provision on there. This is basically an appropriation bill, a small appropriation for a number of things, and saying, well, we're going to put a huge policy issue on it, and they could use some of that money for that purpose. That doesn't make it germane under our rules.
Senator Rest, advice for the chair.
Thank you, Madam President. I would hope that you would consider the amendment germane. I do think I'm persuaded by Senator Perry's comments about the relationship of the imagine that the relationship of the policy provision in here, as well as the appropriation using the HALA funds. So I would request that you consider this germane.
Madam President, advice?
Advice for the chair, Senator Tomassoni?
Madam President, I think I would say this is not germane, just based on the section of Rule 35 that says it greatly expands the scope of the bill. Moving the primary from August to June is not a little thing. It's a huge thing. And this greatly expands the scope of what this bill does, and I think it is not germane.
And I am going to rule the amendment non-germane. It is intended to accomplish a substantially different purpose than the underlying bill. Further discussion on House File 2269.
Madam President, I appeal the ruling of the chair.
Senator Bonnab has appealed the ruling of the chair. Under 14.4, an appeal is decided by a majority vote of those present. Upon an appeal, the decision of the president, the question is, shall the decision of the president be the judgment of the Senate? A yes or a green vote, you agree with the president's ruling, and a no, a red vote, you disagree with the president's ruling. Discussion? Secretary will take the roll on the ruling of the president. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 46 ayes and 17 nays, the ruling of the chair has been sustained. Further discussion on House File 2269. Secretary will give House File 2269 its third reading.
House File number 2269, a bill for an act relating to elections, third reading.
Secretary will take the roll on House File 2269. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 61 ayes and no nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Remaining under motions and
Madam President.
Senator Perry.
Madam President, I would move that Senate file number 1832, number 77 on general orders be stricken and laid on the table.
On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Remaining under motions and resolutions, Senator Roebling.
Madam President, pursuant to Rule 26, I designate that the following bills be made special orders for immediate consideration. Number 76 on general orders, House File 418, Senator Daley's bill. Number 47 on general orders, House File 2638, Senator Gazalka's bill. Number 48 on general orders, House File 2705, Senator Newman's bill. And number 73 on general orders, House File 2555, Senator Bonoff's bill. And a new addition, if you are looking at the list on your desk, is number 8 on general orders, Senate File 1895, Senator Latz's bill.
Senator Roebling has designated several bills as special orders. We will begin with number 76 on the general orders calendar, House File 418, Senator Daley.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, there is wide bipartisan, perhaps unanimous support for reform and redesign of government. We want to focus on effective and efficient use of our taxpayer dollars. Studying efforts completed in other states, we have seen their savings in millions of dollars in the state's finance, payroll, procurement, and human resource functions. This bill would be doing the same for Minnesota. As you take a look at the legislation, this Back Office Consolidation Act, it starts with a benchmark report, which will be completed by November 1st, 2012, and it shall include a comparison of the state to peer groups and world-class organizations, quantify performance gaps, uncover hidden costs, identify improvement initiatives, and prioritize ranking of those initiatives. We also include a student transportation study. With support of this initiative by the Department of Administration, by January 15, 2013, the Commissioner shall report to the Senate and House two different items: a written plan implementing the improvement initiatives identified in the benchmarking report, and any draft legislation that's required to implement the improvements. I'd like to thank Senator Nenow for his leadership on the Reform and Redesign Committee, and to each of the members on that committee. It had unanimous support in that committee, and I encourage your support, members. Thank you.
Further discussion on House File 418. Seeing none, the secretary will give House File 418 its third reading.
House File number 418, a bill for an act relating to state government, third reading.
Secretary will take the roll on House File 418. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 47 ayes and 15 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Continuing on special orders, number 47 on the general orders calendar, House File 2638, Senator Gazelka.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, House File 2638 amends the licensing requirements for the sale of portable electronic insurance, first enacted in 2010. Portable electronic insurance covers the loss or damage to a whole range of portable electric devices such as mobile telephones, iPads, laptops, computers. This coverage is typically sold by the sales staff for the vendor of an electronic device, such as a wireless carrier store or electronics retailer. In 2010, legislation was enacted licensing the vendor of the device to sell portable electronic insurance, exempting the vendor's sales staff from the extensive insurance producer licensing intended to address the sale of auto insurance, home insurance, life insurance, etc. In order to qualify for this exemption, the vendor must provide a clear consumer disclosure and the sales personnel must be trained in the coverage being sold, among other requirements. In the light of the rapid evolution of the sales of portable electronic insurance, revisions to this licensing system are already necessary. These changes will allow vendors to keep up-to-date records of sales locations rather than the Department of Commerce, but must make them available upon request from the DLC. For licensing purposes, determines that an online retailer of portable electronic insurance must pay the same fee as retailers with 10 or more locations. It requires an applicant for portable electronic insurance to list the name and certain background information like address of the individual designated to be responsible for the vendor's regulatory compliance. Large vendors must list similar information for 10% of or greater shareholders. Four, it requires the mandated disclosure to affirmatively state that upon cancellation of the portable electronics coverage, the return premium will be refunded on a ratable basis to the customer who paid the premium. And finally, whenever notice of correspondence is required, the bill adheres to the Minnesota's version of the Uniform Electronic Transaction Act. The Commerce Department was originally not in favor, but now the Commerce Department is fine with this language. Madam President, I'll stand for questions.
Further discussion on House File 2638. Secretary will give House File 2638 its third reading.
House File Number 2638, a bill for an act relating to insurance, third reading.
Secretary will take the roll on House File 2638. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 63 ayes and no nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Next bill we will be taking up is number 48 on the general orders calendar, House File 2705, Senator Newman.
Thank you, Madam President. House File 2705 is really a technical corrections bill. Historically, attorneys have been allowed to close real estate transactions without any other specific licensure. A couple of years ago, as a result of a cross-referencing error in the Commerce Department's technical bill, the legal right of attorneys to close real estate transactions was eliminated, and this bill simply reinstates or corrects that error. I'm not aware of any opposition to the bill, and I would simply ask that you support this corrective bill.
Further discussion of House File 2705. Secretary will give House File 2705 its third reading.
House File Number 2705, a bill for an act relating to commerce, third reading.
Secretary will take the roll on House File 2705. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 62 ayes and one nay, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Moving on under special orders, we'll take up number 8 on the general orders calendar, Senate File 1895, Senator Latz.
Madam President, I move that Senate File 1895 be recommended to pass.
Senator Latz.
Members, I present to you a bill intended to reduce the regulation of businesses in Minnesota. This bill would make it unnecessary for a business to make an assumed name filing with the Secretary of State's office if the only difference between the name under which they wish to do business and their official registered name is the omission of the legal entity designation at the end of the name, such as incorporated, limited, or corporation. If they do not have the incorporated, limited, or corporation or similar designation at the end of their assumed name, they do not have to make that assumed name filing. They don't have to publish such an assumed name either. So this would reduce the costs of doing business in Minnesota, and I'd appreciate your support.
Further discussion on Senate File 1895. Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Madam President. Would Senator Latz yield?
Senator Latz will yield. Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Latz, I just have a quick question. On the assumed name, you said similar. Does that mean both first and last name, or could it just be last name? Could you explain that a little bit further, please?
Senator Latz.
Member Senator Carlson, for example, if you were doing business as Senator Carlson Incorporated, or that were your registered name and you like to promote your business simply as Senator Carlson, you would not have to make an assumed name filing to do that or to preserve your rights with the Secretary of State's office to that name. You could simply omit the incorporated at the end of the name. Similarly, John Smith's Garage Incorporated could simply do business as John Smith's Garage without filing an assumed name. The Secretary of State's office is okay with this, and in fact, the searches on their electronic system already account for this. The law just didn't provide for it.
Senator Perry?
Madam Chair, would Senator Latz yield?
Senator Latz will yield. Senator Perry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Latz, is there a fiscal note on this?
Senator Latz.
Madam President, Senator Perry, according to Senator Gerlach, who's a co-author of the bill, I believe there is no fiscal note on this. Madam President,
Senator Perry.
Senator Latz, I am so excited. I never thought I would say this, that I would see you help business and even do something that didn't have a fiscal note, and I thank you very much.
Further discussion on Senate File 1895. Secretary will give Senate File 1895 its third reading.
Senate File Number 1895, a bill for an act related to assumed names, third reading.
Secretary will take the roll on Senate File 1895. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 62 ayes and no nays, the bill is passed in its title agreed to. Remaining under special orders number 73 on the general orders calendar, House File 2555, Senator Bonoff.
Madam President, I have a delete all amendment.
Senator Bonoff, what's the number?
This is House File 2555.
Senator Bonoff offers the A1 amendment.
Thank you.
Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Bonoff moves to amend House File Number 2555 as amended pursuant to Rule 45 adopted by the Senate April 24, 2012 as follows. Delete everything. This is the A1 amendment.
To the amendment, Senator Bonoff.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, what I have submitted before you is the Sunset Commission bill. Because of the late date in hearing this bill and the various places it had to travel through, we actually did do a pre-conference committee. And so the reason why I'm doing a delete all amendment on the Senate floor is because this is the pre-conferred conference amendment. So this has been negotiated with between members of the House and the Senate. Members, I'm handing out the statement of who actually served on the Sunset Commission. This was the very first time the Sunset Commission was in existence. We met for over 30 hours to take testimony, but I just wanted, before I would briefly tell you about the bill, to take you through the membership. Representative King Banyan, Representative Mary Kiffmeyer, who was the chair, Representative Michael Nelson, Representative Joyce Pepin, myself, I was the vice chair, Senator Ted Daley, Senator Paul Gazelka, Senator Mike Perry, and then the governor's appointees, Matt Intenza, Sharon Erickson-Ropes, Javier Murillo, and Ruth Orrick. I mention that specifically because I think it's important as we have this conversation to note that this was membership of 6 Republicans and 6 Democrats, and we did have a consensus report where I believe all but one member did agree to it. The bill that came out of that Sunset Commission was the bill that is pretty much before you in the amendment that you see. There were several things as the bill traveled into the through the House that were added to that, but most of those, in fact, did come out during the negotiated process. As required, the Sunset Advisory Commission reviewed 15 Health Licensing Board, 4 Councils of Color, and 4 other commissions, held 13 hearings. The recommendations are issued in accordance within the statutory deadlines. The legislation implementing the commission's recommendation touches on a wide range of policies. After we had adopted our early recommendations, serious issues were raised in the Star Tribune with regard to the Medical Health Licensing Board. So you will see in the amendment before you that we have addressed that by including several provisions. We have included a request that the Office of Legislative Auditor do a special investigation of the Medical Health Licensing Board. In addition, we have asked the Office of the Legislative Auditor to work in conjunction with the National Board so that we can make sure we understand best practices in this area. In addition, there's actually a Medical Practice Act working group to really look at, is our Medical Practice Act exactly where we need it to be? This bill has been carefully reviewed, has gone through 7 committee hearings. We do extend most of the reviewed boards and commissions for 12 years, which is, by the way, exactly what the Sunset Commission bill requires. The Sunset Commission bill says that if no action is taken other than to say they continue, they do continue for a 12-year cycle. We did, though, choose to sunset the Combative Sports Commission and transfer its duties to the Department of Labor and Industry. And then there were concerns regarding the Council on Black Minnesotans, so we have given them a 2-year period whereby they will come back and be reviewed. Within that, we have, in addition, requested the Office of the Legislative Auditor to come back with findings next year as to whether or not the Council on Black Minnesotans has adequately addressed the concerns that were found earlier. We require the small boards and commissions to use the Department of Administration's Small Agency Resources Team to increase their efficiency, commonly known as SMART. One of the things the Sunset Commission is charged with is making certain that we operate and use all tax dollars with the greatest degree of efficiency. We require the health licensing boards to post information on their websites about their licensees regarding convictions, malpractice judgments, and disciplinary actions by other state licensing boards. The House version had included settlements that was not in the negotiated agreement. We do require that the 2013 Sunset Commission review of the Department of Health include an evaluation of whether licensing should be done directly by the department or by the boards. We do improve the processes that health licensing boards follow when handling complaints that are filed by citizens, as we heard from many citizens that investigations just simply sometimes go too long. We require the Department of Health and the licensing boards to study and report in 2013 about conducting criminal background checks. Basically, members, the Sunset Commission's job is to do 2 things. One, to recommend whether or not the boards, health commissions, councils, whatever is under review, is to sunset or stay. And then secondly, to address findings that have been surfaced during the process and issue recommendations. So the bill before you does both of those functions. I want to thank the members in the Senate who did serve with me on the Sunset Advisory Commission for their work and their partnership. It was a strong bipartisan effort. Thank you.
Further discussion of the A1 amendment. Senator Brown.
Thank you, Madam President. Would Senator Bonoff yield for a question?
Senator Bonoff will yield. Senator Brown.
Senator Bonoff, I have a list of over 600 state boards, commissions, and councils. I'm wondering how many of these are being recommended to be sunsetted in this bill?
Senator Bonoff.
Madam President, I don't know what list you're referring to. There were not 600 boards, advisory commissions. The legislation very clearly spelled out who and what we were to review, and we did not, I promise you, review 600. It felt like it sometimes, but we did not. So I don't understand what you're asking me to respond to.
Senator Brown.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Bonoff, can you tell me how many boards, commissions, and councils are being recommended in your bill for sunsetting?
Senator Bonoff.
Madam President, one, this Combative Sports Commission, and as I mentioned previously, we put, well, actually, and there was another one that went away entirely that we didn't even put with this, and that was, the name is escaping me right now, but it was a commission that really had no function. So that one was sunset. And then in addition, we had the Council on Black Minnesotans on a probationary review.
Further discussion to the A1 amendment. Senator Cohen.
Madam President, let me follow up on Senator Brown's question, because this whole Sunset Advisory Council is a prime example of what we love to do in the state legislature, and that's form over substance. So we have the Sunset Advisory Council, and they do a lot of work, and they look at whatever, and they come to the conclusion there need to be some changes to the Combative Sports Advisory Council. I think it's renamed. I'm sure members are just beside themselves knowing that we've made that decision relative to the Combative Sports Advisory Council. I'm sure people will be proud to go back to their districts to let everyone know what we did with the Combative Sports Advisory Council, because people in the state have been waiting to hear. What we do have in the bill, however, is we have some significant work relative to the health licensing practices. But the fact that it's done through the Sunset Advisory Council begs the question of why this work, which was detailed by, I believe, a Star Tribune investigative report, was not handled in the regular committee process, handled through Senator Hand's committee. And I think in the Finance Committee, if I recall, a few weeks ago, it was suggested that somehow this was brought to the attention of the Sunset Advisory Council. Apparently, they had nothing else to do, so they took over the jurisdiction of Senator Hand's committee and proceeded to do the work that Senator Hand would otherwise be quite competent to do with on his own and with his committee members. The other thing it suggests is why we even need a committee process in the state Senate to begin with. Why don't we simply eliminate all the committees? Because there's no reason why the committees empowered to look at the budgets, to look at the agencies, can't do this themselves. And at the risk of lapsing into what I did a little bit last year, Madam President, I apologize, but back in the good old days when I was first chairman of the State Department's finance division in this body, and the State Department's division at that point was about 2.5 times what it is now, the division had jurisdiction over not all, but most of the State Departments and agencies. And we set out a sunset process on a bipartisan basis in the committee to take a look very clearly on an agency-by-agency basis. And we did so during the interim period of whatever year that was, and actually over a two-year period, and looked very thoroughly at these agencies. And we made some changes in the agencies. And we did so with the support and help of Governor Carlson's administration. We didn't need a special counsel to do it. We didn't need the appointment of all sorts of people to do it. We didn't need to take legislative staff and redirect them. We did it within the committee process. Now, to be fair, members, the Combative Sports Advisory Council did not exist at that time, so we did not review the Combative Sports Advisory Council. And otherwise, I'm sure we would have done some work with that council as well. The other thing I would suggest, members, is we do have the legislative auditor, which is empowered to take a look on an investigative basis at departments and agencies. So that's why I suggest, and this is not to belittle the hard work on the part of council members, other than to suggest that why? And the fact that we have legislation in front of us that deals with an issue that isn't directly related to sunset as we interpret it. But to follow up on Senator Brown's question, Senator Brown says, what did you sunset? And Senator Brown, the answer is, please read the language about the Combative Sports Advisory Council, and you'll understand why we need this sunset, whatever it is.
Senator Newman, and then Senator Perry.
Thank you, Madam President. I'm going to stand in opposition to this bill, and you know, I voted against the bill when it came out of the Finance Committee. I'm going to vote against it when it's as it's on the floor this afternoon. And my feeling is this, is that it seems to me that the very term Sunset Commission is going to anticipate that what we're going to try and do is eliminate the unnecessary commissions and boards and agencies or whatever forms our state government. Now, what Senator Brown was referring to when he talked about 600 different boards and commissions was, if you go to the Minnesota Administrative Rules Table of Contents, single space, 28 pages of various boards and agencies that comprise our state government. And the best that the Sunset Commission can come up with is to continue all of the boards and commissions that they looked at for another 12 years. And yes, they did get rid of the Combative Sports Commission, but they simply transferred its jurisdiction to a different place. So they really didn't get rid of anything. And as long as we're talking about, I'll give you an example of why I feel that the Sunset Commission has failed us. If we go to the table of contents, and we will find the Combative Sports Commission has jurisdiction over combative sports. There is, in addition, the Board of Boxing, which has jurisdiction over amateur and professional boxing. Then, in addition to that, there is the Boxing Commission that has jurisdiction over boxing. And when I go through the various agencies and commissions and boards that are listed, I just stand in wonderment as to, do we really, really need all of these entities? And then I look at the bill that is before us today, and I see that the Sunset Commission really hasn't accomplished anything. So the thought occurs to me, maybe we ought to sunset the Sunset Commission and start over. Thank you very much.
Senator Perry, excuse me just a moment. Senator Bonoff, to that point.
Yes, Madam President. The majority party actually did put forward the Sunset Commission. I was asked to be a co-author on that. I chose not to be because I thought the bill had too high a stakes in it. The way the bill was written is that if the legislature can't come to an agreement, those things actually disappear. And or sunset, as the name says. And within that, we're looking at all state agencies so that if we don't come to an agreement, and I don't know if you've noticed, but we seem to have a pretty hard time coming to an agreement. And if we don't, then in fact, those things sunset. The authors of this bill started with some things that they thought would be least controversial. For example, most of the health licensing boards. I think nobody thought that the health licensing boards would be, in fact, things we'd want to sunset. So our work was a little different than normal. Other than those things that were, other than the health licensing boards, there were actually very few things we were asked to look at. Very few things. Those things that Senator Newman is talking about weren't asked to be looked at. It's listed in law what we're to look at. And what in law we're to look at is the Capital Area Architectural Planning Board, the Amateur Sports Commission, the Council on Affairs of Chicano Latino People, the Council. Anyways, I don't need to go through it all. It's in your bill, but it was very, very limited. Of those more limited ones that weren't automatically things that you would say would sunset or wouldn't sunset, we made some pretty significant changes, had some hearings, and took some action. With regard to the 12-year provision, members, that's what the authors wrote in the bill. I wasn't a co-author of that bill. I simply was serving on the commission. So I'm not here to Senator Cohen, I'm certainly not defending the Sunset Commission legislation. I'm merely presenting the work and the findings of a consensus report.
Senator Perry.
Madam President, two things. I would impose a call of the Senate for the duration of this bill.
Senate is under call. Senator Perry.
Madam President, I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant of Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. To the A1 amendment, Senator Perry.
Thank you very much, Madam President. You know, I was just thinking, I don't know if Senator Cohen left, but I was thinking back in the good old days I had hair, and that was a long, long time ago. And I think that's why we brought the Sunset Commission together. If we recall back, Senate File 1047, which was the State Government Innovation and Veterans Bill last year, the Sunset Commission had teeth and actually could make the decision of what boards, commissions really needed to be held in existence or those that should be sunset. But through that 11th hour negotiating to pull us out of a shutdown, the teeth were taken out of the Sunset Commission. And here I would have to agree with my colleague, Senator Cohen, it doesn't have any teeth in it. And sometimes one would wonder why we put all that energy and time with it. I would suggest that the problem is not the fact that we have a Sunset Commission. It's a fact that there was a lack of oversight by the legislature for years and years on these commissions and boards. That is my feeling, and I just hope that we can work through this and make sure that we're doing the right thing for this bill as we move forward.
Senator Harrington.
Madam President, I rise to support this bill. I want you to know that that I agree, actually, with Senator Perry on one comment, that there has been a lack of legislative oversight. Early on in my time here at the Senate, I volunteered to actually be the Senate representative on several of these commissions, the ones that my district thought were important. And in all candor, no action's been taken. Those commissions, in many cases, have come back to me over and over again asking for when they were going to get the legislative oversight and the legislative members assigned to them that by statute they're required to have. These commissions would like to be able to function fully, and they believe that one of the ways that that happens is when they have full staff and when they have a full complement of board members. And so I do believe that we do need to make sure that we have legislative oversight. I think the Sunset Commission, though, also has done a remarkable job. I can tell you from Council on Black Minnesotans through the Chicano Latino Affairs and Asia Pacific, all the way through even the ones that have not been renewed, like the combative sports, they have all benefited from the hearings and the oversight that the Sunset Commission did provide them. I can tell you from firsthand examples that they have been doing better work, that they are more attentive to the details of the jobs that we have set for them. And I think the Sunset Commission has played a valuable role in providing legislative oversight in the absence of actually having individual legislators assigned to these commissions.
Further discussion to the A1 amendment. Senator Bonoff renews her motion the A1 amendment be adopted. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. Further discussion on House File 2555. Senator Perry.
Madam Chair, I would offer the A3 amendment.
Senator Perry offers the A3 amendment. The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Perry moves to amend the Bonoff Amendment to House File 2555 adopted by the Senate April 26 as follows. Page 2, line 6. This is Amendment A-3.
To the amendment, Senator Perry.
Thank you, Madam President and members. What this amendment does is changes a couple of things. If you take a look at page 2, line 7, we delete 2024 and insert 2013. In other words, what we're doing here is those boards and commissions that would not be reviewed for 12 years. We've set that aside and changed that date. The other thing that we've done here with this amendment is that all health-related licensing boards listed in the section are sunset and expire in 2018. So instead of the 12 years, we want to make sure that 6 years from now we're able to bring this back and take a look at those agencies.
Further discussion, Senator Bonoff.
Madam President, Senator Perry, if you wouldn't mind, could you just tell me exactly, repeat, what you're doing to each particular group in this amendment? I'm having trouble finding on the lines and how it relates. So if you could just be very clear, stand up and say exactly who you are, which groups you're changing, and what the change is.
Senator Higgins, before Senator
Yes,
Perry
Madam
responds.
President, the amendment does not come up on the computer.
It is slowly working, is my understanding. Senator Perry?
Thank you, Madam President. That's why we're reorganizing OET, and hopefully Commissioner will have those slowness problems fixed. Senator Bonoff, what this does is it extends every agency in this bill by 1 year, with the exception of the Health Licensing Board, which it extends 6 years instead of 12.
Senator Bonoff?
Madam President, so really what Senator Perry's doing is he's allowing the health licensing boards another 6 years rather than 12, which, you know, that's not the way the people who had the bill did it, but it's I don't have any objection to that. Yet the work that we did on all of the councils, including the Council on Black Minnesotans, where we had them come back in 2 years, he's moving all those back to 1 year. And in fact, we weren't even planning to have commission reviews this year. They weren't even scheduled to be until the following year. So, Senator Perry, we would be adding cost, bureaucracy, and a lot of work to staff, to those councils that just went through this review by having them come back and be re-reviewed in 1 year, and I don't think that's an efficient use of our time. So I would move to amend your amendment and strike 2013 and insert 2014. And then, Senator Perry, in addition, I would delete then line 1.15.
Senator Bonoff, are you offering an oral amendment?
Yes.
To restate that then, please, so I get it in writing?
Yes, Madam President. I am striking on line 1.15, 2013, and inserting 2014, and then in related to that, on line 1.15, I am striking that entire line. And I will also say that I have heard that there has been a lot of unrest with regard to what the Sunset Commission came out with. And I am greatly disappointed that is being told to me today on the Senate floor, when not only did we go through months of review and bipartisan work to come up with the consensus report, but then had a very open process during the pre-negotiations, and this was never brought forward. So I am opposed to doing this, but in the spirit of wanting to have this go forward, I am offering that oral amendment.
Senator Bonoff, I need to quickly confirm with you on line 1.15, you have scratched 2013 and added or and replaced it with 2014 on line 1.5. Senator Bonoff, on line 1.15. You are changing.
Strike line 1.15 because it's no longer necessary with the above change.
1.5, and then on 1.15, you're striking the entire line?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Senator Bonoff has offered the oral amendment. The Secretary will report the amendment to the A3 amendment.
Senator Bonoff moves to amend the Perry Amendment, House File 2555, as follows. On line 1.5, delete 2013 and insert 2014, and delete line 1.15.
To the oral amendment, Senator Rest.
Thank you, Madam President. I oppose the Perry Amendment, but I also oppose the Bonoff Amendment. When I look at the boards that were reviewed, I'm looking particularly at the CAP board on which legislators sit. This is not something that is removed from the legislature. Senator Cruz is a member of the CAP board. I'm a member of the CAP board. Senator Olson is a member of the CAP board. There is legislative oversight there. The CAP board is the zoning agency for the Capital area, not just this building, but the CAP board works on approving designs, et cetera, for any kind of memorial on the Capitol grounds. It approves the size of signs that are in the Sears parking lot, whether you can have a parking ramp at Regions. The Capitol area is much larger than this building, and the notion that three-person agency, which is headed by the lieutenant governor as on the board and is peopled by legislators, should only be reviewed or needs another review in 2 years is just absurd. Even more absurd is that it needs another thorough review in 1 year. I don't understand it. I mean, I do agree that the Sunset Commission ought to be repealed, and the legislative standing committees ought to do their work in when these agencies and boards, including the CAP board for that matter, come before a standing committee for appropriations. Their financial audits ought to be looked at, their internal controls ought to be looked at, et cetera. But that's the duty of the standing committees, and I think the Sunset Commission is a redundancy. However, once they have undertaken this extremely thorough review, even of an agency as well-run as the CAP board, to then say, well, we're going to come back and put you through the ringer again, according to Senator Perry, in 1 year, so that this would be like an annual review, an extensive annual review, or as Senator Bonoff, in two years, I just think that's totally unnecessary and should not be approved by this body. So I'm going to vote no on both.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. I've been listening to this, and Senator Rest, I think you and I finally have something we can agree on in the past 42 years, and that is, we both agree that we disagree with Senator Bonoff's amendment. The question is, and the question I had, Madam President, if I could ask Senator Bonoff to yield.
Senator Bonoff will yield. Senator
Limmer. The question I have is, now Senator Perry has reduced the time to potentially end these boards by 50% of the time that was originally created in your original amendment. And instead of going that 6 years, you want it 5 years, but aren't you extending it 1 year? Senator Bonoff, why don't you re-explain, at least for my benefit, what your one-year difference in time is all about?
Senator Bonoff.
Madam President, Senator Limmer, the health licensing boards were to be reviewed in a 12-year cycle because that's the Sunset Commission bill language states everything that gets reviewed. Once it's reviewed in another 12 years. Senator Perry's amendment said the health licensing boards would be reviewed instead in 6 years. I left that alone. Then Senator Perry said these other councils and commissions should be reviewed in 1 year. I strongly object to that. And in fact, I will actually oppose my amendment as well, but I think it's better than Senator Perry's original. I would have just left the bill the way it is. That's what was agreed to, and that's what I would do. But Senator Perry offered that the rest of them had to be looked at again in 1 year, which I think is very inefficient, very ineffective, a waste of everybody's time, staff, the commissions, the councils. So if they feel it has to be looked at, they're not going to accept that. I said at least do it 2 years. But again, I would have preferred to just leave the amendment the way it was.
Senator Limmer.
Madam President, now that I clearly know what the amendment does, I rise to speak in favor of Senator Perry's amendment.
Senator Hayden.
Madam President, I rise also to oppose Senator Bonoff and Senator Perry's amendment. You know, one of the things, we've had some long discussions about this particular issue, and I'd like to praise Senator Bonoff and the other commissioners that are the commission's work on this issue of going through and meticulously vetting each one of these boards and commissions and coming up with what I think is very reasonable. One thing that you may notice, the Council of Black Minnesotans in particular is treated a little differently in the bill. And that was because they needed to be treated differently, that as they were going through the process of changing, as the commission was looking at what is their function, they started to make the necessary changes that they needed to. And in making the necessary changes that they needed to, they started to look at their staff and their staff composition. They started to look at their boards and their board composition. And one of the things that happened was that the executive director was removed. He was removed because the board, as they started to change, felt like that a lot of the work, and I'll be careful here, but that he was not doing the things that was reflective of what they needed to do. And that was partly because of legislative oversight. That was partly because the Sunset Commission started to come in to say what is going on with this board and other boards. That's partly because Senator Perry's committee started to look deeply at that. Senator Perry started this conversation out by saying one of the problems was that we didn't have enough legislative oversight. We didn't have enough executive branch oversight. So as those things started to happen, they started to figure out that they needed to make some changes. Now, unfortunately, those changes happened exactly when the Sunset Commission was looking at them, and so them being good legislators and prudent, what they did is they said, we want the legislative auditor next year to take a look at you. And in 2 years, we want to take a look at you again to see where you're at. That kind of change is what we want, members. That is the kind of change, that's the kind of reflection that we want our boards and commissions to do. So what I would say to Senator Perry, that instead of kind of putting this onerous examination of them again over and over, year by year, what we should do is we should have our boards report to the prospective committees and tell them what they do each and every year. And if there is a problem and if they don't think that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, there is nothing that really stops us from putting forth legislation to change them or to eliminate them at that point. That can always be changed. But to kind of go through this process because you didn't get the outcomes that you thought that you would get when you put this legislation forward is something that I don't think that we should do. Members, we don't have much time left in this legislative session. We got a lot of things that we need to do. And this board did great work. This Sunset Commission, a bipartisan group, did exactly what they were supposed to do. So what I would hope that we would do is that I hope that we would honor and respect the bipartisan work that they've done. We move forward with this open process. We don't have a long and drawn out debate on something that you could have weighed in months and over a year ago and months and months and months after that. Let's oppose Senator Bonoff's amendment, let's oppose Senator Perry's amendment, and let's move forward and get the real work done that we need to do in the ticking time that we have left in this legislative session.
Senator Perry.
Thank you, Madam President. Onerous. Senator Hayden, my bubbly friend that smiles all the time. Folks, the reason is because of the standing committee's lack of accountability over the boards and commissions. Folks, I saw over the last 10 years some of these boards and commissions rubber stamped, had the same identical report turned in to the standing committees year after year after year after year. That's what I found. To me, that's lack of accountability. Lack of accountability. That's what we're trying to do here. The accountability started last year when I started questioning what was happening with some of the boards and commissions. Specifically, when you look at general fund appropriations of in the $600,000 biennial range, $600,000. And then you throw on top of that legacy dollars, upwards of $250,000 on top of that. Folks, 12 years of no accountability is way too long. Excuse me, that's our responsibility as legislators. And yes, if that puts a little more pressure to make sure that the boards and commissions are doing what their charge is, and for that matter, whether they know what their charge is, that's our responsibility as legislators in watching the appropriated funds given to us by the citizens of this great state. That's why I stand in opposition to Senator Bonoff's oral amendment.
Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Madam President. I would request a roll call vote.
On the Bonoff amendment. Senator Laurie.
Thank you, Madam President. I rise in opposition to the Senator Bonoff amendment and also in opposition to the Senator Perry amendment. I was not a member of the Sunset Advisory Commission over the interim, but as this bill traveled through the legislature, it picked up quite a few policy items regarding the health licensing boards, and that is something that I have historically paid a great deal of attention to in the legislature. And so when I saw that development occurring, I asked to be included in the process. And one thing I learned, and I was they opened up the process to me, included me in this working group over the last week or so that tried to hammer out some of these last contentious items. And one of the things that really, really impressed me was the level of thought and dedication that had obviously gone into this, and the level of openness that they demonstrated in crafting a bill that would do right by our boards and our commissions and by the legislative process. And I think that we ought to respect that work and allow this bill to pass without either of these two amendments. Again, speaking to the health licensing boards, and I do recognize that they were given a longer period in the Perry amendment than the rest of the boards and commissions, asking them to continually justify their very existence really distracts from their core purpose. And they are here. They are a presence here at the Capitol every single year. We engage with them every year and see firsthand the good work they do to oversee the licensed entities that they are charged with overseeing. And they are incredibly important to the work that we do here in the legislature. And taking them off of that goal, and I'm certain that most of the other boards and commissions that I'm not as intimately familiar with, but it would also be a similar distraction for them, I am certain. And asking them to come back over and over and over again, I'm sure it makes us feel all good and powerful and everything to have them come back and chasing their tail around the legislature trying to tell us how important they are. But I'm certain that they have more important things to do. And I think that asking them to come back, most of them in 1 year, is onerous and would stand in opposition to both the Bonoff Amendment and the Perry Amendment. Thank you.
Further discussion to the Bonhoeff Amendment. Senator Bonhoeff.
Thank you, Madam President. And members, be clear. I offered the second amendment to his amendment just because I was trying to protect those boards and commissions. I did not want to have them come back. And so, members, you know, we have to consider that Senator Perry's going to pass his underlying amendment if we don't support mine, and then I don't know what will happen in conference. So again, I'm wearing the hat of just trying to protect the integrity of the work that has been done, and again, I'm so disappointed that this conversation is taking place on the day the Sunset Commission bill is being done, given it was all negotiated in good faith with parties from both sides and has taken place over such a long period of time.
Further discussion of the Bonhoeff Amendment. Roll call has been requested and roll call granted. The Secretary will take the roll on the Bonhoeff Amendment, which is the A52, if you need to pull it up on the computer. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 6 ayes and 58 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Further discussion to the Perry A3 amendment. Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Madam President. I would request a roll call.
Roll call has been requested. Roll call granted. Further discussion, Senator Rest.
Thank you, Madam President. I have an oral amendment to the Perry amendment. Page of the delete all amendment, page 2.
Senator Rest, are you referring to Senator Bonhoeff's A1 amendment?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I am amending the Perry amendment, but
okay.
I'm referring back
because
to
we
the,
are okay because we Bonhoeff, are on the Perry yeah. amendment. That's why.
So on page 2. Line 6, after the, I think it's a semicolon, strike capital area architectural and planning, and then on line point, and then page 2, line 7.
Senator Rest,
strike
I'm sorry.
Board.
I guess we're a little confused. We're trying to understand because you're referring to the A1, but we are on the Perry A3.
And what Senator Perry was doing was referring in his amendment to page 2, line 6, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm doing the same. Okay? So on page 2, line 6, after the semicolon, strike capital area architectural and planning, and then page 2, line 7, strike board. And then on line 110, I'm just moving it, okay? Line 110, insert after the comma and the capital area planning, or architectural and planning board, so that along with the effect of the amendment is, along with the health licensing boards, that the CAP board would also have a period of 6 years before it is reviewed again. The Perry Amendment calls for the cap board to be reviewed after 1 year.
Senator Rest,
I'm just moving that into the 6 year.
But we're going to have to ask you to repeat it because I don't think we got the entire thing down. We're trying to, because what we understand you're trying to do is take the language that you're talking about in the A3 and add it to the, the A1 and add it to the A3. So you're going to have to clearly repeat it so that the secretary can report it.
Madam President, I would request it in writing.
Senator Perry has requested it in writing.
Then, Madam President, I would ask the author of the bill to set it aside for a moment so that I can get it in writing. But the effect of it will be, and in just talking about it,
Senator Rest?
I would appreciate some advice from the President. What I'm going to be doing, I think I've explained, to make the, or proposing, is to bring the CAP board into a 6 year review period, take it away from the 1 year review period that is in Senator Perry's amendment. If it works better to have a vote on the Perry amendment. And then I would then have an amendment to the Perry Amendment as adopted by the body. Is that a clearer process?
My understanding is they are already working on the amendment when they heard the request for it in writing, but that may be the process that you're explaining now may be a clearer process on how to handle it.
So that if the Perry Amendment goes on, then my amendment would be to the Perry Amendment as adopted, rather than trying to mix up the bill again as he's done with his amendments. Is that your advice?
Yes, that would be my advice, Senator.
But then I would temporarily then withdraw my oral amendment and get it in writing. But that would be my intent, and I hope that you'll give me enough time to do that.
Further discussion on the A3 amendment. Seeing none, a roll call was requested. The secretary will take the roll on the A3 amendment. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 33 ayes and 29 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Oh, the amendment is adopted. Further discussion on the Bonoff bill. Senator Rest.
Thank you, Madam President. It's been suggested to me as I'm waiting for my amendment that a number of members might not be familiar with the work that's done by the CAP board, and that some additional explanation might be helpful. The CAP board, as I mentioned briefly, is the zoning board for the capital the capital zoning area, the capital district. The capital district includes the capital building. It includes the state office building. It includes all the buildings that we see on the Capitol complex, with the exception of the armory. The armory is not part of our zoning. It goes across Highway 94 down to the cathedral. When a business or an entity or wants to put a sign up on their on the outside of their building, they have to bring that request and that design to the CAP board. The members of the CAP board are the lieutenant governor is designated on statute always as the chair of the CAP board. For 8 years, it was Carol Molnow. It is now Yvonne Putner-Solon. The governor has appointees to the CAP board, and I'm a gubernatorial appointment. Representative Matt Dean was a Pawlenty appointee. He is still on it as well. The Senate president appointed Senator Cruz and Senator Olson. We meet at the call of the chair to review requests for things like signs, and we also had the responsibility, for example, of approving the design for the parking ramp that's just down University Avenue. We're extremely involved in the capital repair and restoration effort, and have been for the last 10 years. The board is also served by advisors who are architects, and they give us, the board itself, advisory opinions about designs of memorials that are being proposed for the Capitol grounds. The proposals that are brought forward have to be authorized in legislation, but as you probably know, most of the funds that are raised for the memorials that are on the Capitol grounds are done with private money, and we that are usually raised by one group or another. And we've also started to include a requirement that maintenance funds, in addition to the construction funds, be included in the money that is raised. We have standards for memorials that are on the Capitol grounds that include that they need to be relatively unobtrusive. That is, that the grand view that you get in the front of the Capitol going down to the Veterans Building is relatively unobstructed. We have gardens that we have out there. We have the sesquicentennial rose garden that the First Lady, then Mary Pawlenty, was helping to dedicate a couple years ago, and other gardens as well as statues. As I mentioned, we're involved with the Capitol restoration efforts and proposals, and we voted unanimously to support the master plan along with the Capitol Preservation Commission, which did the same. And with that explanation, I certainly would be happy to answer any other questions. But, Madam President, Mr. President, I have the A53 amendment.
Senator Rest offers the A53 amendment. The Secretary, report the amendment.
Senator Rest moves to amend the Perry amendment.
No,
to House File 2555, adopted by the Senate April 26, as follows. Page 1, line 5. This is Amendment A53.
Senator Rest.
Thank you, Mr. President. As I mentioned, in explaining it before I got it in writing, it just moves the CAP board into a six-year review period along with the medical review boards. Nothing more complicated than that. But I do think we need to recognize the permanency of this group and how well they're managed, advised, and they don't need such an extensive review after only 1 year.
Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. I rise in favor of the Rest Amendment. I stand in agreement with a majority of the Perry motion, the amendment that just went on. I think we have a lot of opportunities to make sure that we're looking at the effectiveness of this commission's, but the CAP board, I would humbly say, is kind of an exception. I think putting it under a six-year review would be much, much better. We have the potential this year, if we do have a bonding bill coming before us, that we could get some resources to revitalize the capital. I think that we should make sure that board is spending its time and attention finding out how to best use those resources that have been allocated to it. I also know that there is concern by staff about some of the planning that has gone on in that board, and I think we're going to be doing a lot of work in the future to make sure we get some of those issues straightened out. I know there's been some great leeway as far as security goes and making sure that we adapt some of our plans to maximize security here on the Capitol campus. So, members, I would rise in favor of this amendment, and I would hope you'd give us a green vote.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. I rise in favor of the Rest Amendment. The Capitol Area Architectural Planning Board has long-range plans for this very important building and the 60 blocks radius around this building. The planning is in depth. It includes the memorials, which are in process right now, planning for new memorials. And of course, we may have the opportunity to look at restoring and stopping the destruction on this marvelous building. Members, I can tell you there is no greater time that we will need the expertise and the long-range view of the CAP board. I would encourage a green vote.
Mr. President.
Senator Rest.
I'm sorry. I apologize to Senator Nelson. I neglected to acknowledge her contribution to the CAP board, too, and she is a Governor Pawlenty appointee and has been on the board for 4 or 5 years, and I certainly welcome her support and Senator Cruz's.
Is there any further discussion? Senator Perry.
Thank you, Mr. President, and I support Senator Rest's amendment, and I'll tell you why. Members, I was trying to be, some people tell me I'm not politically correct sometimes, but through this whole process I was trying to be, because there are certain agencies and boards like the CAP board, which I've sat at some of their meetings. They get it. They understand it. They know how to report, and they do it properly. I understand that. But for some reason we have some that don't. And the only way we can grow these is to have continual accountability. We have to continually make sure that what they are charged to do, they are doing. For an example, when we talk about duties, here's one, the duties. Advise the governor and the legislature on the nature of the issues confronting. Advise the governor and the legislature on statutes or rules necessary. Recommend to the governor and legislature. Some of these boards and agencies are doing more than they should be, which I believe is creating more of a want for general fund dollars. And I think we have to continually look at these boards and agencies. So
that's the direction that I wanted to go. But again, Senator Rest has a valid amendment. I would ask you to support that amendment.
Any further discussion? Senator Newman.
Thank you, Mr. President. I, too, would stand in support of Senator Rest's amendment. I think it is appropriate. While I am, or I remain, quite critical of the bill that is in front of us, I do believe that the idea that Senator Rest has come up with is indeed appropriate. Thank you, Mr. President.
Okay, seeing no further discussion, we come to a vote. All those in favor of the Rest Amendment, the A53, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. And the motion prevails, and the amendment, the A53 amendment, is adopted. Okay. Any further discussion? Senator Bonoff.
Mr. President, I just want to remind members that with this action that you've now taken to give the Sunset Commission this extra work in 1 year that they wouldn't have even been meeting, and so now you're using government resources, it really wasn't necessary because the committees of jurisdiction could get rid of these councils any year. Those of you who are chairs, that's certainly within your purview. And Senator Perry, you were chair of state government. I don't understand why, if you had concerns about these, you didn't call a hearing and bring councils, boards, and commissions before you to deal with some of this. So to, in one hand, say that the Sunset Commission, you know, is should have this extra work, and on the other hand, to say they aren't necessary, it should happen under the Committee of Jurisdiction, seems to me inconsistent with the amendment we just passed. I think it was not the way to go, but yet that's the will of the body, and I'm hoping that we will do something different in conference, but nonetheless, that's the bill we have before us, and so I would say the responsible thing is to support the bill.
Sir Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would request a roll call.
Senator Carlson, we are on the bill, so there will be a roll call. Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. Well, we've had a lot of discussion about timelines, and in doing so, I think we may have neglected some of the real importance of the bill. The important things that I like to see here are the fact that we are now requiring an outcome-based budget. We are asking for performance goals, and we are making sure that there is statutory authority for things that the individual commissions do. These type of requirements, and I would say monitoring, is an excellent part of the Sunset Commission. And so I would encourage a green vote.
Senator Latz.
Members, I've found this whole discussion quite ironic, actually, since I'm looking at the members of the Sunset Advisory Commission that apparently, you know, did some work that was presented to us for consideration before the Perry Amendment. And if I'm counting right, I've got out of the, let's see here, out of the 12 members on the commission, six were Republicans, three Republicans from the Senate here. And three Republicans from the House who, as I understand it anyway, supported the original bill that Senator Bonoff had before us for consideration. So the pushback that we've had on the floor today is very confusing to me. And I've also been struck by the apparent absence of Senate committee oversight of these commissions that are now being complained about on the floor of the Senate, these complaints being made by chairs of some of the committees that had the oversight responsibilities. So I'm really, really confused by what all the conflict is here on the floor. It sounds like sort of a fight within the same house. But that said, And while we want to save government resources, and this, as it leaves the floor here, is going to require the expenditure of additional government resources for duplicative purposes, redundant over what's been done in the past year, I think it's important that we keep the whole concept of the Sunset Advisory Commission's goals alive, and that we be able to work towards some kind of a conclusion that both houses of the legislature can pass this year and have the governor sign. So with that purpose in mind, I'm going to encourage members to support the bill now in this vote. And hopefully before we adjourn sine die, we'll have an agreement with the House that we can come back to and pass on for the governor.
Senator Benson.
Thank you, Mr. President. There's been some comments about the effectiveness of the Sunset Commission. I, for one, am disappointed. As a freshman, my calendar was booked back-to-back out of courtesy to groups and boards and activists, and they all came in with glossy brochures. Lots of their board members and presidents and executive directors coming in telling me that they were wonderful, wonderful organizations, and as soon as you push a little bit and say, well, how have you shrunk poverty? They talk about reports they did and other commissions that they serve on. And so I was really hoping for a higher level of scrutiny from the Sunset Commission. And that's why I supported the Perry Amendment. Separates the medical boards. I respect the Rest Amendment. The CAP board has been doing good work. It's time for us to focus. We have limited resources to send out of our general fund. We need to focus on those groups that are actually going to change things, not just produce glossy brochures and come to the Capitol and ask for more general fund money. And that's why I'm asking for another look. And I'd appreciate support of the bill in the current form.
Further discussion on the bill? Senator Perry.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just cannot let this go by. I am walking on a cloud. Not only does Senator Cohen agree with me, but now Senator Latz. I can leave today and know that I have two that agree with me on what's happening here with the Sunset Bill, and I thank you, Senator Latz, for supporting this.
Before we get to third reading, Senator Latz.
Senator Perry may have some internal evaluations to do tonight after the vote is complete, given his recent comments.
The Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
House File Number 2555, a bill for an act relating to state government, third reading.
See no further discussion on the bill. The Secretary will take the roll. Secretary will close the roll. There being 55 ayes and 9 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Remaining under motions and resolutions, we will take up conference report on Senate file 2324. Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the foregoing recommendations and conference committee report on Senate file 2324 be now adopted and the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee.
To that motion, Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. There's just one minor change. We had a very short and effective conference committee language that was added in the House. Were just three simple words defining satellite system contractor. We concurred with that with no testimony and complete agreement by the stakeholders. We'd be grateful for your support.
Any further discussion? All those in favor of the Peterson motion, say aye. Opposed, nay. And the motion prevails. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate file number 2324, a bill for an act relating to occupational licensing, third reading.
Secretary will take the roll. The Secretary will close the roll. There being 63 ayes and 1 nay, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Motions and resolutions, we will take up the conference report on Senate file 946. Senator DeCryf.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that the foregoing recommendations and conference committee report on Senate file 946 be now adopted and that the bill be repassed and amended by the conference committee.
All those in favor on the DeCryf motion, say aye. To that motion, Senator DeCryf.
You want me to explain the bill at this point? Okay. All right, Senate File 946 is the conference committee report. This legislation seeks to encourage joint partnerships of groups of school districts in order to maximize efficiencies, share resources, and improve student and school outcomes. This bill was passed by the Senate last session. During the intervening year, the House author was contacted by folks who had concern with the broader language of the original Senate file. In an effort to ensure that this bill can be signed by the governor, the House added more detailed language to the bill and removed the flexibility that would have allowed participating districts to operate in the same manner as charter schools. While the language of this conference committee report is more detailed than the Senate's original version, and while some flexibility has been removed, the conference committee report largely accomplishes the same ends as the original Senate bill. The bill's chief advocates, the Minnesota Association of School Administrators, testified that they were happy to work within the parameters of this conference committee report. Importantly, supportive testimony from Education Minnesota and the Minnesota Department of Education indicate that this language will find favor with the governor. The conference committee report provides for a five-year pilot project for the 2013-2014 school year through 2017-2018 school years in established to improve student and school outcomes by allowing groups of school districts to work together to provide innovative education programs and activities and share district resources. B, to participate in this pilot project to improve student and school outcomes, a group of two or more school districts must collaborate with school staff and receive formal school board approval to form a partnership. C, a participating school district under this section continues to receive revenue and maintains its taxation authority. Be organized and governed by an elected school board with general powers under Minnesota statutes, and be subject to employment agreements under Minnesota statutes, and district employees continue to remain employees of the employing school district. D, the commissioner's role. Interested groups of school districts must submit a completed application to the education commissioner in the form and manner determined by the commissioner. The commissioner must convene an advisory panel composed of representatives of Education Minnesota, the Minnesota Association of Secondary School Principals, the Minnesota School Boards Association, and the Minnesota Association of School Administrators to advise the commissioner on applicants' qualifications to participate in this pilot project. The commissioner must select three to six qualified applicants to participate in this pilot project, ensuring an equitable geographical distribution of project participants to the extent practicable. The commissioner must select only those applicants that fully comply with the requirements. The commissioner must terminate a project participant that fails to effectively implement the goals and objectives contained in its application and according to its stated timeline. And E, at the request of the Department of Education, the conference committee report also added an appropriation of $25,000 per year for the life of the pilot to employ staff to analyze district applications, monitor progress, and write a report on district progress in realizing their educational goals and objectives.
On the decryf motion, any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. And the motion prevails. The secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate file number 946, a bill for an act relating to education, third reading.
Further discussion? Seeing none, the secretary will take the roll. Secretary will close the roll. Sorry. Senator Vanderveer votes aye. B, being 66 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. We have one additional conference report at the desk. Recurring under motions and resolutions, we'll take up the conference report, Senate File 288, Senator Howell.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the foregoing recommendations and conference committee report on Senate File 288 now be adopted and that its bill be repassed as amendment by the conference committee.
To that motion, Senator Howell.
Members, this is a bill about safety and transparency. We originally heard this, and it was passed 62-2 May of last year. This bill is about safety of dental patients, staff, and technicians. The changes that we made in the bill are to remove the continuing education requirements and the dental technician certification, and we've also reduced the appropriations from $165,000 down to a $15,000 initial and then $5,000 per year afterwards. The other changes in that came out of the conference committee was originally there was a $300 biennium fee, but since we've removed the certification process, we were able to reduce that fee to a biennial initial registration of $50, and thereafter it would be $25 for 2 years. With the repassage of this bill, dental laboratories in the state will need to register. So in case of a product recall or a safety issue, we can notify them, just like any other profession. The problem is, no one knows where these dental labs are located. With every dental appliance, the lab must now inform the dentist of the origin of the country that the dental appliance was made and disclose the material content of every dental appliance. The lab must also state if FDA-compliant materials were used. The Lab Association and the Minnesota Dental Association have worked hard and are in agreement with this bill. And with that, members, I urge you a yes vote, and I'll stand for questions.
Senator Sieben.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd urge members' support of this conference committee report. Thank Senator Howe for his work. I believe that the provisions, if this conference committee report are adopted, will lead to more transparency for dental patients and help improve the safety and security of people visiting dentists. Thank you.
Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would Senator Howe yield for a question?
Senator Howe will yield.
Thank you, Mr. President. And Senator Howe, I believe when this bill left this body, there was a requirement for dental labs to have to join or be a member of the Dental Lab Association. Is that still a provision in this bill?
Senator Howe.
Mr. President and Senator Carlson, no, it does not prohibit a voluntary certification process, but there is no required, you're not, any dental lab or dentist is not required to join any association.
Further discussion on the adoption of the conference report. Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would Senator Howe yield?
Senator Howe will yield.
Senator Howe, how would this affect, say, a dental lab in any major medical institution, be it Mayo Clinic or North Memorial or Regent's Hospital or anything like that? Would they fall under the same regulations?
Senator Howe.
Mr. President and Senator Senjum, they would be exempt because they already are required to register with the Dental Association. So if they're creating a dental appliance inside of a dentist office or organization, they would not be required. They would still have to do the material content part, which they're required to do anyhow.
Senator,
there would
Senjum.
Be no change for labs that are currently doing it inside the dental office.
Senator McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would Senator Howell yield for a question?
Senator Howell will yield.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Howell, I have an email from a constituent who's a dentist, and they have concerns about the bill. So if you could just address one of them. They say that the Board of Dentistry currently regulates all dental offices, and they can address any concerns for patient safety under current law. Could you tell me why current law isn't sufficient in these cases?
Senator Howe.
Mr. President and Senator McGuire, there is a concern because there is no regulations right now concerning the material content, and these are appliances that are going in our bodies. There's absolutely no requirement. And a good share of these are made outside of our country. If there is a problem with a dental appliance and material, right now we have no way of notifying the dental labs who they are, where they're at, the dentist of these of a potential recall of a safety concern. And so we did work very hard with the Minnesota Dental Association on getting the required, and they are in agreement with this bill. This has been vetted over 2 years. A lot of work went into it. It's streamlined. It is the minimum amount necessary that we can do to provide patient safety.
Any further discussion on the bill? Then, seeing none, on the Howe motion to adopt the conference report. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. The motion carries, and it is adopted. Then the Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File Number 288, a bill for an act relating to health, third reading.
Secretary will give the, or will take the roll. Secretary will close the roll. There being 57 ayes and 8 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Senator Senjum.
Mr. President, I'd like to call for a brief recess to appoint a conference committee.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye.
Senjum.
Madam President, is there a privileged report at the desk?
I believe there is, Senator Senjum. The Secretary will check for us.
Senator Senjum from the Subcommittee on Conference Committee recommends that the following senators be, and they hereby are, appointed as Conference Committee on House File Number 8, Senators Han, Benson, and Newman. Senator Senjum moves that the foregoing appointments be approved.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Senjum.
Madam President, I move that the 12-hour requirement of Joint Rule 2.06 be suspended as it relates to Conference Committee Report, Senate File Number 2493.
On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. I'm sorry, Senator Senjum, Senator, in the middle of the vote, Senator Higgins did ask for an explanation. If you could just give us a quick, brief explanation. I'm sorry, but it was in the middle of the vote.
Madam President, members, this is to bring up the conference report on the legacy bill. We would otherwise need to come back at about 9 o'clock tonight to do that, from the standpoint of the time limit. So, if we can do it. Now I will avoid a return visit.
Thank you, Senator Senjum. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President and members. This is the conference committee report, an agreement on House
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
I'm sorry.
Could you read the motion that we've got?
I certainly could do that. My apologies, Madam President. I move that the foregoing recommendations and conference committee report on Senate file number 2493 be now adopted, and that the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee.
On that motion, Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President, members. This is the legacy bill that we had. It's going to be some time ago here now, probably a month and a half ago, where it was passed off the Senate floor 64-0, and went to conference committee with the House. We just met, and we came to an agreement. And if I can go through it, I think you do have a handout in front of you, but I'll quickly explain the real differences. Not a whole lot has changed, other than some juggling of dollars here. The bottom line expenditure here did not change. Actually, if you look on the, and maybe you don't have it yet, but on the second page, you'll notice the Outdoor Heritage Fund total remained the same as we actually left, of $99,920,000. So I'll explain the differences here, Madam President and members. Article 1, this would be the Sam's Outdoor Heritage Council Northwoods project, was originally $14 million, and that went from, with an agreement with the House, down to $11 million. That's a 2,000-acre parcel along the Mississippi River. This will guarantee the purchase for future generations. Madam President and members, and those of you that may or may not remember, this is the acquisition from the Lessard Sams. It's actually going to be turned over to Crow Wing County. Crow Wing County will be the owner of this property, and they will also be managing this property. They will be, of course, obligated for the tax obligation, or take on the tax obligation, so the state of Minnesota will not have a PILT obligation on this piece of property. This was probably the most, really the only contentious issue, really, quite frankly, in this bill. And it was agreed upon that we go with $11 million, and the language still remains the same, Madam President, members. There's a safe gap there that if the property that's in question here is going to be purchased, we have to go according to the state policy when it comes to acquisition. We cannot pay any more than what the property is worth after the evaluation of the property. The state has a process of doing that, and the reason we started out at 14 million members was that there was one property valuation of 14 million. That was our starting point with regards to the bill. There was going to be another one, and there's some thought that it may drop, it may lower, but there's a stopgap in this particular bill where that $3 million difference is going to actually drop to the bottom line, which will be that particular money will go towards additional monies that's already appropriated of $5.5 million. Will be appropriated for the barriers. Now, there's a time gap on that as well, members. If those dollars are not expended within a certain period of time, I believe the date is December 15th, and the evaluation of the property comes in at a higher rate, that money will be shifted back to the acquisition of the property. Well, we come into a problem with the House members was that there was also some, there was also $1.8 million worth of money from the Clean Water Council that's actually going towards research to the Peter Sorensen Research Facility, University of Minnesota, that is AIS research. That along with some other appropriations of dollars, some from the LCCMR, there's been money diverted back to the LCCMR to pay the DNR from some diversion of dollars there as well to make sure that we get the amount of money that's needed to get going on our research at the University of Minnesota. There was a question of whether Lessard money could actually be used for research. The Constitution got an interpretation got involved here along with the governor's office, and it was agreed upon that there should be no research money coming from Lessard SAMS to the University of Minnesota because it does not meet the test of the Constitution, or at least that's the opinion of everybody involved. So that's why you'll see that those dollars that are shifted around and the money ends up with LCCMR, and that money then is redirected to the University of Minnesota. So you'll also see an acquisition of, again, in that money appropriation, you'll see the $1 million that was not on there before for the LaSalle Lake project that was LCCMR. That's how we got around that research project and still was able to use the, we're still able to use the outdoor heritage money indirectly, but that was the, according to council, the way to go. So Article 2, we took the Senate position with regards to the money appropriated for research and University of Minnesota research to combat AIS. I think we already talked about that. We looked, took the House language for the expansion of clean water grants. Article 3, this was the parks. We just added language that stated consideration and priority should be given to local units of governments when applying for grants. Article 4, we took $1 million again from available for the LaSalle project and shifted that research to aquatic invasive species. Again, that we agreed and we believe that that is more appropriately funding source for the research. Article 5, the Senate did not have an Article 5 which appropriated money from the Arts and Culture Fund. We agreed with the House position, and what happened there was about $800,000 was canceled from the Historical Society appropriation previously. That dropped to the bottom line and was reappropriated it to them for the historical and cultural grants. Also, there was $180,000 was appropriated from the bottom line for the sesquicentennial anniversary of the Dakota Indian uprising. Then also $600,000 to the film board, leaving approximately 3% on the bottom line, which is we feel is appropriate, which has been somewhat standard for bottom line dollars. So members, again, the bill didn't change a whole lot. We just juggled those figures around to make sure that we were able to address the AIS barriers. There will be now basically $8.5 million going towards the barriers from the Lessard SAMS. And the research money that will be going forward will be a real good start on this on the research project at the University of Minnesota. And I think you've heard us talk about that before. Should also be noted that these projects are, as well as the University of Minnesota, the barrier projects are not ready actually to go. But this money is going to be available as soon as the permitting process goes from the DNR to the feds, and we're able to do that project. Whatever barrier that the DNR decides is the most appropriate, and again the research of course is an ongoing project. Professor Sorensen, as you well know, is a renowned professor at the University of Minnesota that is a carp specialist. He's stating that it's going to take at least a 3-year process to get that program totally up and running. So this is going to be kind of an ongoing situation, but this is good startup money, a good start, and I appreciate the Senate support in moving forward with both the research as well as the barriers here. So we think it's a good agreement, and I want to thank, of course, Senator Carlson and Senator Saxhog who helped us on, helped me on the conference committee, and I'll stand for questions.
Discussion centering Britt's motion, Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, I just had a question if Senator Ingebrigtsen would yield.
Senator Ingebrigtsen will yield. Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Ingebrigtsen, not mistaken, Article 3 here on page 35 of the Conference Committee report, where we eliminate the local match for eligible projects. I don't think that language was in the bill going out of the Senate. I think that was language in the House version of the bill that we picked up in this Conference Committee report. Is that correct?
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President. And Senator Dibble, no, that language actually was the Senate language. There was no House language with regards to that.
Senator Dibble.
Thanks. I appreciate that. Nevertheless, can you tell me a little bit more about the rationale and justification for this? I mean, I understand that it's been kind of a long-standing, as long as we've had the legacy funds, not that long, that we have asked, particularly for these, these regional parks, the metro parks, and now we're bringing in more local parks from around the state. Why we're not asking local units to make any effort, we're just giving folks these state dollars and not asking for any local effort.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President, and Senator Dibble for that question. The very extensive discussion, of course, as you remember last year with regards to the splitting of the parks dollars with the DNR, the metro parks, as well as the regional parks. And as you remember, the first appropriation going out there was 14% for rural parks, and that was still open for metro parks to be able to come in, and actually that did happen, the first appropriation, and so the metro parks actually got only 11% of the 100 percentile that actually was appropriated. So last year we thought it was fair. This body again voted unanimously to raise that to 20% and split the metro parks went up a certain percentage from 38% to 42%, and the DNR got the remainder. And there was a cap that was left on there. I think that's what your question is regards to on the rural parks, a cap of $500,000 and also a 25% match. We felt it was fair to put language in there requesting that and knowing that we should have some buy-in from the public with regards to parks and matching money. And so we put language in there saying that you would give priority to those programs that actually come forward that have matching dollars instead of having a 25% match, which incidentally the metro DNR parks dollars have. So we thought it was a fair way to do it. Again, we voted on that going through the first time around unanimously, and we still think it's a real fair thing to treat rural parks at least give them some opportunity to have some similar leeway as the metro and the DNR parks funding.
Senator Dibble.
Well, Madam President, I think we need to be clear here. The metro parks have been putting significant amounts of their own dollars to match these state dollars. And if we want to talk about fairness, now, Senator Ingebrigtsen, I'm a one Minnesota kind of senator. And I travel out of the metro and use at least the state parks. I don't know that I use the local parks. And I will take note that we don't have similarly situated state parks in the metro area, but one. And so our regional parks act as state parks in the metropolitan area. But I appreciate the fact that the metro area has a little more financial heft and. The metro area in many things that we fund that have statewide significance, whether that be, you know, our MNSCU system or our transportation system or this particular subject that we're dealing with today. You know, we're not going to do one-for-one dollar spending where those revenues are generated. But, you know, to date, the Metro Parks have been putting forth a tremendous amount of local effort, complete with, you know, comprehensive plans in a concept about what exactly we're striving to achieve over a period of time, which is lacking for the comparable rural, more local parks. And it's important to point out that the structure of this bill is going to, you know, cannot stand over time. 80% of the dollars and these legacy dollars go to Greater Minnesota. 64% of the dollars that are raised for this purpose are raised in the metro area with 54% of the population. Now, like I said, I'm a one Minnesota kind of guy, and I appreciate that, you know, we're doing stuff out of these dollars that benefit everyone across the state. However, whenever I get up to talk about environmental implications of the policies that we're passing, parks and lands and natural resources around the state, my standing, my ability to even raise these questions is usually impugned and called into question because I'm a metro guy and I have no right to speak about what's going on in places outside of the metro. The fact is that it's my dollars and my constituents' dollars that are going to subsidize these sorts of acquisitions and these sorts of improvements many, many times over what's being done through taxes raised in other parts of the state, and now we see even more so with no local effort that has to occur from this point forward for these more local parks, absent even a comprehensive plan, so we don't even know what we're putting this money towards. So Senator Ingebrigtsen, I'm going to support this bill, but I just have to state for the record on the floor today, the structure of this bill can't be repeated in future legacy bills.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President. I don't want to belabor this, but I certainly appreciate Senator Dibble's comments and knowing that the state park and dealing with the with their lobbyists over the last couple of years, I've learned to appreciate just where the metro parks have come over the years, and yes, in fact, they have done a lot of funding as well as match money, and they should be commended for that. But we should also remember that rural Minnesota is just starting to get their plans in order here, and 14% we thought at that time, and again, I don't want to belabor that, was quite low. But we did make concessions for the metro parks, going from 40% to 42% last year, and we thought that was fair. The DNR, of course, has got other appropriations as well as legacy money, so we thought that was somewhat of a fairness there. So we appreciate the efforts in the metro parks area. There's no question about that. We also know that the majority of the dollars in Minnesota are raised in the metro area where the people spend the money. There's no question about that. But we just thought, we still think that we're certainly being treated a lot more fair than when we first started out here. And again, this is a 25-year appropriation that the folks in Minnesota vote for. Minnesotans care a lot about their parks statewide, and I think that was well known during this vote in 2008, and we're going to have, I believe, 21 more years of these funds coming forward for these types of initiatives. So the people of the state of Minnesota can be very proud of their park system, should be, and they're going to be well taken care of with those dollars. So, again, I ask for your support.
Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Madam President and members. I'd just like to stand and say thank you to Senator Ingebrigtsen for this bill. Senator Ingebrigtsen, I think this is a great bill. And particularly, I'm noticing the shift in funding for the protection of aquatic habitats from Asian carp. I want to say thank you for your continued efforts in that area. That's a huge issue for the state of Minnesota as a whole. I know we continue to work hard up in my area where we're affected by that in Coon Rapids and in Brooklyn Park. We're working on that Coon Rapids Dam, and I just wanted to say it's a great bill, and thank you for that continued effort.
Further discussion on Senator Ingebrigtsen's motion. Senator Ingebrigtsen renews his motion that the foregoing recommendations and conference committee report on Senate File 2493 be now adopted and the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Secretary will give Senate File 2493 its third reading.
Senate File Number 2493, a bill for an act relating to natural resources, third reading.
Secretary will take the roll on Senate File 2493. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 61 ayes and 4 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Moving to executive and official communications, Senator Senjum. Oh, you've got to read it. Secretary will read the communication.
Dear Madam President, I have vetoed and am returning Chapter 233, Senate File 1921, a bill which would impose licensure requirements only upon facilities performing an abortion. Sincerely, Mark Dayton, Governor.
Senator Senjum.
Madam President, I move that Senate File Number 1921 and the veto message thereon be laid on the table.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Moving to the 13th order of business, announcements of Senate interest. Without objection, the following members will be excused. Senator Reinert, all day. Senator Bach from 1 to 3:30. Senator Lillian Thompson from 1 o'clock to 1:40. Senator Thompson from 2:15 to 2:20. And Senator Senjum and Senator Ortman from 2 o'clock to 3:40. Further announcements of Senate interest. Without objection, Senator Miller from 3 to 320. Senator Higgins.
Madam President, is this an appropriate time to ask Senator Senjum a question?
Senator Senjum. Senator Higgins.
Madam President, Senator Senjum, can you give us a roadmap to the end of the week or to the end of the session or anything in between?
Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Senator Higgins. I wish I could give you a precise roadmap. There's certainly work being done on the bonding bill, the tax bill with Senator Ortman and the House members. The bonding bill, at least on our side, well, frankly, even with the House members, Democrat and Republican, we will continue to work on those. We are slowly running out of bills for the floor, and we'll continue to look. But at this point, what we plan to do is come in tomorrow at 1 o'clock. I suspect we'll have a menu of things, but the tax bill at this point and the bonding bill are those areas of major interest that we're still working on.
Madam
Senator
President,
Higgins.
Senator Senjum, do you plan to be here on Saturday?
Senator Senjum.
Senator Higgins, we've thought about that, and maybe I'll have to update you on this, but right now we're thinking that Saturday might just simply be reserved for conference committee efforts, and the body itself would not have to be there. I hope I don't have to retake those words.
I have additional excuses. Without objection, the following members will be excused. Senator Sharon from 1:30 to 1:50 and Senator Langseth from 3:55 till the end of session. Without objection, they are excused. Further announcements of Senate interest. Senator Senjum.
Madam President, the business of the day now being completed, I would move that we adjourn until Friday, April 27th at 1 o'clock.
Senator Senjum has moved. We adjourn until Friday, April 27th at 1 o'clock. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. We are adjourned.